as an Israeli. A final status agreement is a product of changing national identity, and it will create a different national identity. We cannot go to a final status agreement, or we could not go for Oslo agreement without changing our national identity and priorities. It's not just a cool like calculation. We began changing during the late 80s. Our national identity, we continue that in the 90s, and so on. But it calls for changing a final status agreement. It calls for changing Israeli national Zionist identity. And we will have a different new Zionist approach. The final status agreement is a product of, and it will produce a new profile. It goes hand in hand permanently. All Zionism is about bringing Jewish to reside in Palestine, sizing land, achieving sovereignty, and expanding territory. That's are the principles of 120 years of the Zionist project. For a while, it stopped between 49 and 67. It renewed since in 67. The project renewed the full scale of expanding the territory of the State of Israel through settlements following the army occupation. With the final status agreement, this has to stop. This will stop. So we will move from old classical Zionist methods to a new one. So we have to readdress our Zionist identity, our national identity. That is very, very problematic. That's very problematic not only for us, but also for the Jews in the diaspora. Perhaps more problematic for the Jews in diaspora that were brought up on the classical Zionist ideology than for us that we are in a process of transfer. And the same goes for the Palestinians. The same goes for the Palestinians. They face the issue of establishing their own state. And this is not easy for them from where they are at the moment.
We have about 5 minutes.
Urs Tiedwiller, I'm the Swiss ambassador to the United States, and at that time, the diplomatic advisor of my ministry and responsible for the Geneva Initiative.
Thank you very much for your help.
Well, all what you said, Menachem, reminds me, of course, a lot of the incredible days we went through, and you mentioned even the Mövenpick at the Dead Sea, where we few nights without sleep hammered out the last piece of what is now known as the Geneva Initiative. We were heavily accused at that time, we the Swiss, having interfered into internal Israeli politics. Actually, it was a big misunderstanding, because the only thing we wanted was first to prove, because it was the second intifada, everything was blocked, nothing happened in the peace process, to prove that on both sides there were responsible people with political or military background who were able to partner, and the second thing, to create a document which should be a reference document for future peace negotiations between the official partners, that means the Palestinian government and the Israeli government. And I think we achieved that. It's still on the table. We don't mention it very often as Geneva Initiative or whatever. It's not important. It's not important from a Swiss point of view. What is much more important is that the document is still on the table, and I'm convinced that any future peace agreement, if hopefully one is going to see the earth, will be plus minus 5% Geneva. But now to my question. One of the failures in all efforts to have a peace agreement was the negotiating structure. Do you have an ideal negotiating structure in mind, Menachem? What would be, in your view, the ideal negotiating structure?
Oh, thank you. Once again, thank you very much. And anyone who raised, arguments against your intervention in Israeli domestic politics, send him to read the book and see what really your role was, except the last night in the Mövenpick Hotel in the debate regarding Jaffa Gate Road leading to Zion. You did not intervene or brought up, your people did not bring up bridging proposals and so on, but helped us a lot. So so it was a very, very modest intervention and so on, but thank you once again. As you said, Geneva became a term of reference regarding the model, what we can achieve. Unfortunately, not yet a policy. It was not translated to an active policy. It's an optional policy. Now, the structure of negotiation, of course, this is a model also in the structure, how to manage successful negotiation. I did not have enough time, but I deal in length in the book with it. Team management, team composition, personal relations, and beyond trust and mutual trust, I will give you, and beyond the need to agree on the premise from the beginning. Okay? I will give you one very crucial element. See, it was not secret for us and for them, in this case, us and them, because we never were the us and them. Us and them, that there are debates inside each of the groups. Debates, and we have our own divisions and different views inside, and they have. But we did not play. We did not play with domestic debates. We did not try to exploit the differences inside them and vice versa. And we build bridges and coalitions. And I describe it here inside. And this is very important because it did not happen so in Camp David and Taba. For example, I skip the names because most of you perhaps don't know, but they are no secret. I can tell them later and you can read. We got, in several stages, we got a request from Palestinian colleagues. See, these guys are newcomers. They just arrived now. They are very tough people. They disagree to the concessions that we have made, and we have problems to bring them to agree with us. Okay, and to the point that both of us are at the moment. Please help us, and so on. And we helped them. And so on, and it went the other way around as well. Or we used, without knowing at that time, I just learned about it later when I made my research on South Africa, what in South Africa was called going into the woods. So two people, fully trusted by the leaders, were chosen to go to the woods, to a different room, four eyes, and be very keen and clear. What is the problem? What is the real interest of you in the project, in this item that we debate on? And what is my real interest? And let's find a compromise. But very open. And then each of them comes to the plenary or of the whole group and report, and we make our decisions and so on. So we trusted each other very much, and all these kinds of tactics, it's a trial and error. It's something that you build during the participation, and also, as I mentioned, to share all our knowledge with the other, not to play on our superiority as Israelis and their inferiority and lack of knowledge. Or, and so on, to be equal, to create equality, because we want an equal status. And one of the main Palestinian concerns is they know very well that they are inferior and we are superior. Israel is a regional superpower, and they know it very well, and they know that they are less professionals than we are, and they want to create equal base. By founding a Palestinian state means we are equal in basically as you. We have the same rights, and they are terrified by equality. In a situation where they are not equal, and on the way to the negotiations, they are stopped by Israeli roadblocks and soldiers. Or in Ben-Gurion Airport, they are treated as they are treated at the times when they could take Ben-Gurion Airport and go through Ben-Gurion Airport. So it is always difficult to begin a negotiation after, let's say, Palestinian needs to have a permit and cross a roadblock. Thanks. But we know that we need this process of relaxation and take off.